Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
The woman says, I've been married for 24 years, and I have not been happy. My husband doesn't show me the affection or attention I need, and 24 years is a long time to not be happy. I reconnected with an old boyfriend from high school on Facebook, and well, we've been spending some time together, and I've decided that I deserve to be happy, and so I'm going to leave my husband, and I think God wants me to be happy. The college student says, I went off to college, and I was determined that I was going to be a strong Christian, but I got there, and everyone was partying, and I just felt like I was missing out. I confronted one of my Christian friends about his partying, and he said that God wants him to be happy. And I guess that makes sense. I mean, if God loves me, wouldn't he want me to have a good time? The dating couple says, yeah, we go to church and we believe in Jesus and we want to follow him, but the whole don't have sex before marriage thing, I mean, come on. God wants us to be happy. The details are different, but the stories are similar, and the conclusion is the same. I deserve to be happy. God wants me to be happy. And we've all got a story like that, right? We've all made decisions to do something that God didn't want us to do because we bought into this lie, I deserve to be happy. And the thing is, those decisions don't lead us to happiness. Like Jason, who thought looking at porn would make him happy, or Sarah, who thought going deeper into debt to buy that new dining room set would make her happy, or Bill, who thought embezzling the money from his job would make him happy, or Emily, who thought sleeping with him would make him love her, and if he loved her, she'd be happy, or Keith, who thought getting drunk would make him happier, or at least help him to forget about being unhappy. And the thing is, none of them ended up happy. We're in a series called Flip the Script, and we're looking at lies that we believe and live our lives by, and we're exposing those lies because those lies keep us from living the life that we really want to live, the life that God has for us, and we're replacing the lies with God's truth, the truth that can set us free. We're flipping the script. Now, it's not a lie that God wants you to be happy. God loves you, and like any good parent, he wants you to be happy. But, like any good parent, God's ultimate goal for your life is not happiness, because there are things that are way more important than happiness. But if we believe the lie that above all else, God wants me to be happy and I deserve to be happy, if you believe that, it will start you down a road of other lies that will lead you to a place you do not want to be, a dangerous place. Let me kind of show you how this works. The path we take when we start believing this lie that above all else, God wants me to be happy. First, if you believe that, you'll believe that whatever makes you happy must be right, and whatever makes you unhappy must be wrong. Second, you'll start believing that discomfort or delay or inconvenience can't possibly be part of God's will for your life. And I mean, that's just so if things aren't going right in my life, it must be that God's not working in my life. Third, you'll start believing that you will like worship comfort and pleasure and money. It's just the natural result of believing that ultimately God wants me to be happy. Fourth, you'll start believing that God exists to serve you. No, God does not exist to serve you. You exist to serve God. But if we think that happiness is what's most important, we will reduce God to like a drive-through window. You know, we pull up, we tell God what we want, and his job is to deliver it quickly. And if he doesn't, you know, that is not cool, because God exists to serve us. But God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve him. Fifth, there is a really good chance that you'll end up just walking away from God. You will, because not because of a legitimate reason, but because of this lie that you believe. You'll get to a point where you'll feel like, man, I tried the whole God thing, but I still have cancer. I still am not any better off financially. My kids are still a mess. I'm not happier. And so you'll just give up and walk away from God. See, if we start off believing this lie that above all else, God wants us to be happy, it will lead us to a very dangerous place. And a lot of us have been reading this same script, you deserve to be happy, for a long time. It has directed our decisions, and it has led us to a place where we become increasingly unhappy. Honestly, and we'll see this in the next few minutes, if you live by the lie, you deserve to be happy, it will make you miserable. So part of the lie is that we believe that happiness is the ultimate goal, but also we buy into a lie about what happiness is. See, our culture's definition of happiness, the kind of happiness most of us think about, is very different from God's definition of happiness. There is something in us that wants to be happy. That's never going to change. I don't think that we can not desire happiness. But what we can change, and I'm hoping we will this morning, is our understanding of what happiness is. So I want to walk you through some of the contrast between our culture's view of happiness and God's view of happiness. And I'm going to encourage you to decide to flip the script today. To decide that the kind of happiness I want to experience in my life is God's kind of happiness, not our culture's kind of happiness. Okay? So first contrast, our culture says that happiness is found by pursuing pleasure. So we go after things that we assume will make us happy, right? Things that are newer, faster, shinier, bigger. And we go after circumstances we assume will make us happy. More peace, less conflict, perfect vacation. And we go after people we think will make us happy. And if it turns out I was wrong, well, I'll just trade you in for a different model. You know, no big deal. Just after all that, if I can get all that, if I can get enough of it, I will be happy. We think happiness is something you pursue. But there are all kinds of studies and research that's been done, mostly not Christian, mostly secular research, that has shown that there is no quicker way to be unhappy than to make your life about happiness. There's terms for this. They call it the pleasure paradox or the happiness illusion, that the harder you chase after happiness, the more elusive it seems to become, and that it turns out pursuing pleasure will make you miserable. There's a happiness researcher named Joy Davidman. She says it this way. She says, living for pleasure is the least pleasurable thing a man can do. If his neighbors don't kill him in disgust, he will slowly die of boredom and powerlessness. You know, that's not her opinion. That's based on her research. So our culture says happiness is found by pursuing pleasure. God says that happiness is found by pursuing him. God wants you to be happy, but it's a happiness that you get from pursuing and knowing, having a relationship with him. Check out these verses in the Bible that talk about this. The first one says, delight yourself in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord. Another says, serve the Lord with gladness. Happy are those whose God is the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. It's like our culture tells us that you know, we need things to be happy. God says, no, we pursue God to be happy. And it's easy for a lot of us to view God as a means to happiness. Well, like, God, because I have him in my life, now is going to provide me the things that I want and I need to be happy. No, we don't have God so that he can give us blessings to make us happy. We have God, and we discover that he is the greatest blessing, and so he makes us happy. So we don't pursue pleasure, we pursue God. Last February, we did a message where we said it this way: happy people don't chase after happiness, they chase after God, and happiness catches them. Second contrast. Our culture says happiness is based on circumstances. That's actually what the word happiness means. The word happiness comes from the same root word as happenstance or happening. And our culture's happiness depends on what's happening around us, right? Like the script that we've been reading for years, if we could go and look at the script of our lives, we would realize, I think, that there is this repeating phrase, if only. If only. I bet it's found throughout the script of your life. If only I had a nicer house, a better car, a better spouse, a different job. If only I lived in a different city, went to a different school, had a different body. We read that if only script every single day. We think happiness is based on having the right circumstances. It's not. If it was, well, Americans would be the happiest people on the face of the planet. The happiest people in the history of the world, because we have the best circumstances in the world. But a Gallup poll ranked the U.S. as 33rd in the world on the happiness scale. There was another study that was done that revealed that as our circumstances continue to improve in America, we have more comfort, more convenience, more money, more entertainment. At the same time in America, we've had more depression, more low self-esteem, more hopelessness, more suicide. And some of you understand that because you've realized it's a lie because your circumstances did change. They have. You used to think, if I only made this much money, I would be happy. And now you make this much money, but the amount has changed, right? Now you're thinking, if you get to that amount, the amount's going to change again. It turns out that happiness is a moving target, right? And some of you, when you were single, you thought, if I was married, I'd be happy. And now you're married thinking, if I was single, I would be happy, right? Our culture says that happiness is based on our circumstances. God says that happiness is based on a relationship with Jesus. I know that may sound like, you know, of course, but when you really have that, you start to discover it's true. There's a guy in the Bible named Paul, and Paul's a guy who almost constantly had horrible circumstances, horrible. Just because he was a Christian, he was beaten, arrested, thrown in jail, left for dead. And look at what he writes in Philippians chapter 4. He writes this from prison. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. In that same letter, Paul writes to us, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. See, he's talking about a happiness that is not based on what's happening around us, but instead is based on what God is doing inside of us. It comes from within because of the relationship that we have with God. It's a happiness, a joy, a contentment that cannot be taken away from us. It's untouchable. And that's the kind of happiness we really want. Third, our culture says we will be happy when we've got what they've got, right? The way we approach happiness, whether or not you're happy, really is fueled by comparison. And so we look at our neighbors, or we look at our friends on Facebook and Instagram who are always presenting the best version of their lives, telling us about the new things they've got and the great places they're going. And we see the best version of everyone else's lives, and we feel like we can't be happy until we have what they have. And then we watch TV, and there's all these commercials telling us that about what we don't have and what we need. We need to have that kind of house, drive that kind of car, go on that kind of vacation, drink that kind of beer. And if we do, then we can be happy. Our culture says we'll be happy when we've got what they've got. But God says, no, we can be happy when we're grateful for what we've already got. True happiness, biblical happiness, is fueled by gratitude. That's why the Bible can say in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, check this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Not thankful for all circumstances, be thankful in all circumstances. So you're not thankful for you're getting fired from your job. You're not thankful for cancer, but it's saying you can still be thankful in getting fired from your job, in the circumstance of having cancer. That's true happiness. It's fueled by gratitude. So there was a study done by two university professors. They divided participants into two groups. One was assigned to keep a daily journal of things they were thankful for. The other was assigned to keep a daily journal of things that annoyed them. And what happened is that the people who kept the gratitude journal found that they had the highest levels of happiness that they ever experienced in their lives. Annoyance journal people found that they lost happiness. My guess is that probably doesn't surprise a lot of us. It's like, man, that makes sense. It makes sense that keeping a gratitude journal would make you happier and keeping an annoyance journal would make you less happy. So question, why don't we start being intentionally grateful for what we have and stop paying attention to what we don't have? Or maybe we need to keep a gratitude journal and experience the greatest levels of happiness we ever have. Next slide. Our culture says that I'll become happy by focusing on myself. You know, when you buy into the lie that above all else you should be happy, you become the center of your world, right? And what will happen is you'll become more and more miserable. There was an article in the LA Times, and the title said, studies find depression epidemic in young adults. The article talked about how people born in the last 30 years are 3 to 10 times more likely to suffer from depression than their grandparents. And there are different reasons, but one of the primary reasons given in this article is, I quote, the cultural occurrences that have exalted the individual. People are focusing more and more on themselves, on their own happiness, and it's making them miserable. See, cultural happiness says focus on yourself, but God's happiness says, he says we will be happy when we focus on other people. Jesus once said of himself, Jesus' favorite nickname to call himself was the Son of Man. There's some theological reasons. Doesn't matter, but here he calls himself that. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what leads to happiness, focusing not on yourself, but on others. And listen, you don't have to believe the Bible to believe that. You might be like, well, I don't buy into the whole Bible thing. That's fine. So like there's a psychologist, his name is Martin Seligman. He has spent his entire life studying happiness, what makes people happy. He wrote a book called Authentic Happiness. He says that most of us believe that there's this void inside of me, something's missing, and if I can just fill that void, then finally I'll be happy. If I can fill that void with something I really like and want more of, money, sex, chocolate, success, fame, Stranger Things, season 2 coming out on October 30th, whatever. If I can get more of that, I will be happy. But he says, no, it turns out the gap between more, the more I need, and finally feeling like I have enough, he says people never, never bridge that gap. They never get to a place where they feel like, I've got it. He says you will never, it turns out, studying it for decades, you will never feel full. He did an experiment in his research with college students. He had them go out and do something totally pleasurable for themselves, something they just love to do, just something purely selfish. And then he had the same group go out and do something for other people, something purely altruistic. And here's what he writes the result of this study was. He writes, the results were life-changing. The afterglow of the pleasurable activity, hanging out with friends, watching a movie, eating a hot fudge sundae, whatever it was, paled in comparison with the effects of one selfless act of compassion. He says the students who were involved in these selfless acts became less self-absorbed, less depressed. They had a greater sense of community and a decreased sense of loneliness. And he says, really, it's ironic. It turns out when people try to make themselves happy, they get depressed. But when they try to make other people happy, they get happy. And again, here's my guess. I bet you some of you are like, that doesn't shock me. Maybe it does for some of you, but perhaps some of you are like, no, that doesn't shock me. But let me ask you this. Let's just be honest for a moment. Do you put more effort into focusing on yourself, trying to make yourself happy, or trying to make other people happy? Do you spend more of your money on yourself or trying to help other people? Do you spend more of your time trying to serve your own interests or trying to serve other people? See, it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense, but we don't live that way. And it's time to flip the script. If you want to be happy, don't buy into the lie. Instead, focus on other people. Figure out how much time can I give away? How much time can I volunteer? How generous can I possibly become with my money? And that will lead to happiness. Here's the next lie. Fifth, our culture says that happiness is based on feelings, right? Sometimes you may be happy, sometimes you may not. It just depends on your feelings. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling kind of sad, so obviously I'm not happy, right? And listen, and you know this, if your happiness is based on feelings, it's going to go up and down and up and down and up and down. The foundation of our culture's happiness is feelings. The foundation of God's kind of happiness is faith. It's faith. God says the foundation of happiness is faith. And so listen, this is going to sound odd maybe. That means I can feel kind of sad and still be happy. That's possible. And it's because of faith. So the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What that means is that when things are not going well in my life, I know that's not the end of the story. God is still at work, and I still believe that he's going to bring something good. Like, I have faith in that. And so the foundation of the happiness I have is not how I'm feeling. It's faith. My foundation is solid because I know that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. Here's the last difference that I'll mention, the last contrast. Our culture happiness comes by chasing it, which we've already established, right? In fact, we live in a country that is literally, it says, devoted to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But what we've learned, again, you can believe the Bible or you can believe all the research that's been done, that is not how happiness works. You'll never get happy that way. The lie is that we get happiness by chasing after it. The truth is God's happiness, what we're talking about, you get by receiving it. The truth is we get happiness by receiving it. We receive happiness, contentment, joy as a gift from God. It comes through us saying yes to God's offer to save us by putting our faith in Jesus. So we don't earn it. God offers it to us through his grace. Grace means to be offered the opposite of what you deserve. We just have to say yes and receive it. And this gets to the heart of this lie that we believe you deserve to be happy. So I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like it. But I have to tell you the truth. It's like pretty much my job, right? And good thing, this truth that I'm going to tell you, it can be what sets you free. But you're not going to like it when you hear it. You might not like me. You ready? You don't deserve to be happy. You deserve to go to hell. So there's that. And we laughed, but and first service, they laughed and laughed and laughed. And I think the reason is we're not a church that tells people they're going to hell. So it was like, well, that's weird. Vince never says that. But I mean it. It's true. And it's the truth that can set us free. You don't deserve to be happy. You deserve to go to hell. And so do I. Me too. Okay, so do I. See, we've all sinned. Our sin is worse than we imagine it is. Sin deserves punishment. The appropriate punishment for our sin from a holy God is hell. We've all rebelled against God. The proper place for rebels against God is hell. You don't deserve to be happy. You deserve to go to hell. Me too. And here's why that can set you free and make you really happy. If you wake up every morning thinking, I deserve to be happy, you are going to be miserable. But if you wake up every morning thinking, I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died on a cross for me and he saved me from the punishment that I deserve. He saved me from the place that I should be going to. And so despite my rebellion against God, I have been reconciled to God. I have a relationship with a God who loves me with a perfect love. And I know that I am going to heaven for all of eternity. Woo! That makes you happy. That should make you happy, right? The other thing it helps you to realize, I mean, you wake up every morning thinking that, it helps you to realize, man, this life is temporary, right? The Bible says it's just a breath, and then it's gone, right? It's just a moment, and then it's gone, and then eternity starts, and that lasts forever, and that should make us happy. Like, that's what makes you happy. Let's think of it this way. Let's imagine, this is going to be fun for a second. Imagine that you're a billionaire with a B, okay? You have billions of dollars in your bank account, okay? Let's say that you go on a trip. On this trip, in your wallet, you have three $10 bills. You take a taxi when you get to this place you're visiting. When you're done with your taxi ride, you get out your wallet, you hand the taxi driver one of your $3 bills. Later that day, you get out your wallet to pay for something, and you realize that you now have only one $10 bill. You start thinking, you realize, I either gave the taxi driver two $10 bills by mistake, or at some point today, I dropped a $10 bill because I had three, but now I only have one. Question: what are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to get so upset? Or are you going to let it ruin your day? Are you going to walk around the rest of the day with a scowl on your face and get angry at people? No. Why? Because you're a billionaire, right? You're like, 10 bucks, right? Like if you had $30 to your name, that's a big deal. You got billions in your bank account, I can lose $10. That's fine, right? You are too rich to be concerned with that kind of a loss. Now, I am not trying to downplay the significance of some of the pain that some of us are in, some of the things that we've gone through or are going through. I'm not saying, man, you're all your problems, it's just like $10 compared to a billionaire. But compared to the gift of salvation that you've received, compared to knowing I am going to go to heaven forever, which is a perfect place where I experience the perfect love of God, it is. It is just $10 to a billionaire. So here's what's going to happen to you this week. Things are not going to go well for you. I'm being a prophet, okay? Let me know if I was right or not. Okay, my prediction for you, things are not going to go well this week. Yay. You're going to experience some loss this week. Something bad's going to happen. It might be something really bad. Maybe something you're not expecting. Maybe you are. Or it might be something kind of bad. Maybe your boss gets upset with you. Maybe someone criticizes you. Maybe an investment you have goes downhill. Maybe your kids annoy you, frustrate you. Question, when something bad happens this week, what are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to let it ruin your day? You're going to walk around with a scowl on your face, get upset with people. You're going to shake your fist at God. I deserve to be happy. If so, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you, you don't get it. You don't get it. If you're a Christian, you're not getting it. You are a spiritual billionaire. You've been saved, right? All of your sins have been put on Jesus. You are free of them. You have a relationship with a God who loves you perfectly. You know you are going to heaven for all eternity, where you're going to experience heaven with God. If you get upset about that stuff, you're not getting it. There is a happiness that you can have that is not based on your circumstances. It's not based on your feelings. And it's a happiness that you can have all the time, because it's something you've received, not something you're chasing after. You received it by saying yes to Jesus. And that moves you into a relationship with a God who loves you perfectly, and into the promise of a hope that you are going to go to heaven forever. You don't deserve to be happy. You deserve to go to hell. Me too. But if you said yes to God, you're going to heaven. And you, and this may be something you've never thought about, and it's really important, I think. You were made for heaven. And here's the truth. You're never going to experience all the happiness you want in this life, because you weren't made for this life. You were made for heaven. There's an author named Max Lucado, and he has this illustration. I'm going to kind of mess it up and make it my own, but basically it goes like this. If you were to take a fish out of water and put it on the beach, is that fish going to be happy? No, right? Because it was made for water and it's not in water. But let's say we want to be nice to the fish, give it better circumstances, and so we give it a big wad of cash. We're like, fish, here's $100,000. Is that fish going to be happy? No. What if we gave the fish a little lounge chair, a Corona, and a Playfish magazine? Like, he's just sitting there going, man, look at the tail on that fish. Do you think those gills are real or fake? I don't know. Is the fish going to be happy? No. Some of you are hesitating. You're like, I don't know. Maybe? What's the right answer here? Maybe? No. Why? Because the fish wasn't created for sand, right? The fish was created for water, and he's not in water. So listen, here's the truth. It's so important we get this. If you get everything you want out of life, if you got everything this world has to offer, you would not be as happy as you think you would be. You would not, because you weren't made for this world. You were made for heaven, and you're not in heaven yet. So I think it would be real helpful for some of us to lower our expectations a little bit while we live this life. We can have huge expectations for the next one. But to lower expectations, to realize, you know what? I don't need a new car. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a different spouse, because no new car, new house, or new spouse. I feel like I just walked into a Dr. Seuss book. Something weird just happened there. That was weird. But none of that... That surprised me. None of that's going to make you happy. It's not going to give you the happiness you want. And that might sound disappointing. You might be like, really? You're telling me I'm never going to be really happy in this life? Listen, that's not disappointing. That's awesome news, right? Because you know, if you've said yes to God, you know you're going to heaven. So you don't have to chase after happiness and wonder if you'll ever find it. You know it's coming, not for the blink of this life, but for all of eternity. And when you get there, everything you went through in this life is going to be worth it. In the meantime, as we live this life, you are always going to want to be happy. I'm just convinced. I don't think we can be talked out of wanting to be happy. That's natural. But we can choose what kind of happiness we're looking for. We've seen, again, Bible, not Bible, your choice. Our culture's version of happiness does not make us happy. It makes us miserable. So I would encourage you, I think it would be very wise, if today we decided, I'm going to go after God's version of happiness. That's the kind of happiness that I want in my life. And let me just say, by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, thanks so much for trusting us with an hour of your life. I know it can be weird going to church when you're not sure you believe the same things, but if that's you, man, you can have this too. Like, you just have to say yes. God loves you so much. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to make yourself right, get rid of yours. You just have to say yes. And if you want to do that, or if you're like, I got questions about that, I don't really understand that, we are here to help you. That's why we exist. And so there's a communication card you can use on your seat, and we could call you or email you. Grab me after service. I'd love to talk to you. There's people behind the Velcro bar. They're ready to talk to you. And you can have that. Like you don't have to wonder and chase. You can know. We'd love to help you with that. So, and let's flip the script. Let's make a choice. I'm going to go after God's version of happiness. Let's pray for that right now. Let's pray. God, we all want to be happy. I don't think that can change. There's something in us. But we do get to choose what kind of happiness we're looking for. So God, would you help us to look for a happiness? It's the most surprising, cool thing of my life is when I moved into a relationship with you, I did it because I knew that it was true, that you were real, that God really died, that Jesus really died for me on the cross, but I didn't know it would make me happy. But as I grow in my relationship with you, I find more joy and more contentment. Help us to look for that kind of happiness, God. And we can have that in our relationship with you when we pursue you instead of trying to pursue right circumstances for our lives. And God, also help us maybe to lower our expectations a little bit, to have some patience and some grace when the car breaks down, when our spouse isn't the exact perfect spouse we want, because we cannot manufacture perfect circumstances and we cannot experience perfect happiness in this life. But because of you, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because we've said yes to that, we know it's coming and it's going to be good and it will be forever. Thank you for Jesus, and I pray in his name, amen.